to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Spot on this Tuesday morning, the 27th of October 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next half hour as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Plenty going on after a huge weekend. All the fallout continued yesterday, including Richmond holding their best and fairest last night with a surprise winner. Jaden Short taking home the medal. Dustin Martin in second position.
Yeah, I'm hurting a fair bit right now. It's been an awesome year. I just want to thank you, thank all the teammates, thank everyone involved in this year. It's been an awesome ride, so thank you.
Good boy.
Dusty sounding a little dusty last night at the BNF. It's definitely been a couple of good days of celebration for the Tigers up north. We'll hear a little bit more from them, more from the Saints on their trade period as well. Plus, looking forward to hearing from Glenn Boss and Dennis Pagan in the racing world as we build up to Derby Day on Saturday. There's stacks to get through on a packed Breakfast Bite this morning. Let's get started.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club returns this morning after 6 o'clock, half and whitey to take you through your Tuesday. Lots to get through. Brad Kennedy, is Aussie golfer, making his PGA Tour debut at the age of 46. He'll join the guys after 6.30 this morning. Sam Friedman from the racing world, looking forward to what he's got in store for us. He'll be out at Breakfast with the Stars and give us an update on his runners heading towards Derby Day and the Cup Carnival as a whole. The early mail before 7, then after 7, Rodney Eade, Glenn McFarlane, Thomas Randall and Cameron Green. Looking forward to Cameron Green, the WA star, after 8 this morning. And Jason Riles also to join the show, the Melbourne Storm assistant coach, after they added another premiership to their amazing club on the weekend. Meanwhile, later on, 8.30 Racing Pulse returns with Michael Felgate, Matty Hill, as always, on a Tuesday to join Michael. And then after 10.30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall, always stacks on a Tuesday, including Wayne Hawks with Wayne's World and the Tuesday Hacks. So a very busy morning, as always, here on RSN. A little bit different this year, not being out at Breakfast with the Stars, but that's all right. We'll get you as much information as we can from track work this morning at Flemington. Let's start with the footy news from yesterday, and this was a bit of a shock last night. Jaden Short taking home the Richmond Best and Fairest. Let's have a listen to the winner last night.
I just thought to say thank you. Yeah, obviously it's an amazing achievement, and I'm very rapt. It's a great honour to win this. It's been an amazing year, and obviously 2020 started pretty shit for me. I lost my old man, and I didn't know what was going to happen this year. And to win this, it's an amazing feeling, and just a little bit of recognition for a little bit of hard work that I've had to put in along the way. And I love this club, and I love this group, the coaches. And I just want to say thanks to my mum, my sister, my girlfriend. They're doing a tough in Melbourne. Obviously left my mum and my sister at home. Just lost my old man, so that's pretty challenging in itself. But I'm proud of you guys, and I love yous to bits. Thanks to my girlfriend for all the support, all my mates back home, all you players, coaches, and the staff for making this such an enjoyable place. I've honestly loved my time here. Obviously, it's had its challenges this year, but it's an unbelievable place to be, and I love everyone, so thank you. Sorry if I've missed anyone, but thanks.
Fantastic stuff from Jaden Short last night. The former rookie winning with 53 votes. Dustin Martin finishing in second on 50. Nick Vlosten third, 49. Shai Bolton and Camden McIntosh rounding out the top five. So a lot of the lesser lights there from Richmond's premiership side and their premiership year, getting the nod in the top five. But a great story, Jaden Short, coming from the rookie list to win the Jack Dyer medal last night for the Tigers. Let's hear from Jack Revolt now. He spoke on AFL 360 last night about the Gary Ablett send-off and how that was organised, a touch of class from the Tigers on Saturday night.
Spoke to Danger, just said, oh, look, we'd really like to do this.
And to be honest, the medal idea just came actually from when Dustin did it in 2017 and didn't wear his Norm Smith around when all of us only had our premiership medals on and he didn't want to be the odd one out with it with two medals. So it's not a moment for us. We can put pause on our celebrations. It's actually about respecting and honouring a champion of the game. And I would hate for Gary to look back at these images and see all of us standing there with the spoils of victory and take the shine away from what has been arguably the greatest career in AFL history. So, a small gesture, but we've had some correspondence with Geelong and they really appreciate it. As Mars said in his speech, he's one of the greatest players that ever played the game and he deserves the respect. And we're happy to give that to him and happy to send him the love.
There we go, Jack Riewoldt there speaking last night. Let's head to a bit of racing news. We'll come back with some footy trade news later on, but we'll start with Glenn Boss, who spoke yesterday on Racing Pulse after guiding Sir Dragonair home in the Cox Plate. He outlined who the main rival might be now in the Melbourne Cup.
Anthony Van Dyke. I thought he was outstanding in the Caulfield Cup. I know he's got a big weight, but I've got a lot of respect for him, and I'm pretty confident he's going to be the horse to beat.
It's been a strange year, 2020, but one of the most fabulous stories would be if former AFL coach Dennis Pagan could train a Derby winner on Saturday. Johnny Get Angry is going to be part of the field. He spoke last night on Channel 7 as to his chances.
The horses don't answer you back, the players do. Be out of this world. I don't think I realise how it would be. I'm just sort of trying to focus on, you know, each day as it comes and get there in good shape and then just let it unfold from there. I'm pretty sure he can run the 2,500 metres out and that's what I'm banking on.
We'll wait and see what happens on Saturday. It is going to be a fantastic edition of the Derby. To the NRL now. And the Melbourne Storm celebrations continued yesterday in the Sunshine Coast. Ryan Pappenhausen very much keeping Melbourne at the forefront of their thinking, even yesterday after having a few beers.
We obviously got that V on our jersey and it's our home, so we're thinking of them every single week. And there's a lot of motivation this year off messages getting sent in and a lot of members actually renewing their membership, which is massive. People were losing jobs and we still had our members signing up and committing to the club, so... We definitely felt the love back there and can't wait to get back there and share it with them.
Ryan Pappenhausen also spoke about winning that Clive Churchill medal for the best player on the ground in the NRL Grand Final, just pipping Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I think I've seen Sportsbet paid out Smithy at halftime, so I think I got pretty lucky with the Clive, but you don't play for those. You play for the premierships, and I'm just stoked to have one of these rings and to be able to be a part and share this experience with a great team. I don't think it still hit me that I'm really in the squad, I think. It's obviously a big squad of 27, so just to be a part of it, I'm pretty humbled and just like to enjoy that experience. And then whatever happens off that happens. But, at the moment, I don't think it's really sunk in.
Little bit of cricket from yesterday. A couple more matches washed out in the Big Bash. So the Melbourne Renegades, that's 2 days in a row with no play at all. And then also the Perth Scorchers and Hobart Hurricanes match was called off yesterday. So a few more games abandoned without a ball being bowled. One match, though, did take place. And even this was a reduced fixture, not a T20, down to 9 overs each. Adelaide Strikers made 7 for 68 in their WBBL innings against the Sydney Sixers, who chased the target down 1 for 47 off 5.4 overs. It was actually reduced to 6 overs, their chase, after more rain fell. So they won by 9 wickets on the Duckworth-Lewis method, although there was a familiar name at the top of the batting order, this time guiding home the Sydney Sixers.
Perry on strike now. And she gets a good piece of that. That's into the gap. It should be 4, and that'll be the game for the Sydney Sixers. The skipper does it in style. A 9-wicket victory for the women in magenta.
So a successful return for Elise Perry. None for eight. She took with the ball from her two overs, the most economical of the Sydney Sixers bowlers. And then with the bat, guiding them home at the top of the order there. 14 from 16, not out, after Alyssa Healy made 27 from 16 herself. So that's how that match ended yesterday. Just in the IPL from overnight as well, Chris Gayle getting the job done for the Kings 11 Punjab, who chased down the target of 150 with seven balls to spare. The Kolkata Knight Riders posting nine for 149. In terms of the Aussies in action in the match, Glenn Maxwell with the ball for Kings 11 Punjab took one for 21 from two overs. And then he actually didn't get a bat because Gayle went nuts. 51 from 29 deliveries coming in at number three after Rashid and Singh got the Kings 11 Punjab off to a pretty good start. So a nice victory there for them. Pat Cummins, well, his indifferent form continues over there in the IPL. None for 31 from his four overs, considering they forked out, I think, in vicinity of $1 million for Pat Cummins. He hasn't exactly had a great tournament for the Kolkata Knight Riders. Time to take a break at 14 to 6. On the other side of this, all the US sport from yesterday, including the NFL and the World Series as well. Some rugby. We'll also touch base with a bit of A-League news and the golf from yesterday too.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Third and 11. Are they coming? They back off. Four-man rush, but Wilson's going to get taken down anyway. That is Byron Murphy, and we're talking about the big plays he's made in the secondary. He comes in on a blitz and gets him. So Wilson, who was not sacked all night long, gets sacked twice on this drive.
Good overtime yesterday for the Cardinals as they, as you heard, sacked Russell Wilson twice. So the Seahawks going down 37-34 in a cracker. Some of the other results yesterday in the NFL. The 49ers smashed the Patriots 33-6. Chargers over the Jaguars. The Chiefs beat the Broncos. The Buccaneers over the Raiders. Tom Brady's fantastic season continues. The Packers beat the Texans. Steelers over the Titans. Lions beat the Falcons. Washington smashed the Cowboys 25-3. The Bills over the Jets. Saints over the Panthers just. And the Eagles beat the Giants by a point. One more game to come today on Monday Night Footy in the US. The Rams to take on the Bears. So we'll wait and see what happens there before the completion of Week 7 of the NFL. Let's head to the World Series now in baseball, and it is between the Rays and the Dodgers. Yesterday, LA getting their nose in front in the series, now leading 3-2 after this.
Here's the 3-2, swing and a drive, he got all of it. Oh, baby! Woo-hoo! And he knew it off the bat. Santa Maria!
That commentator is going off at the moment. He's having good fun. It is a great World Series at the moment. As I said, LA leading Tampa Bay 3-2 in that one. The next match to come tomorrow. Meanwhile, in the EPL, live score for you at the moment, Brighton 1, West Brom 0. That is 64 minutes into that contest. A little later this morning, Burnley will face Tottenham at 7 a.m. Melbourne time. To the golfing world now, where Patrick Cantlay was able to close out victory. Let's hear from the American after the win yesterday in the Zozo Championship.
You just knew this week the greens were soft and there were going to be a bunch of birdies. And so, especially with those five par fives. So I wasn't expecting that. And then also the way JT did it at BMW, I mean, he made that blitz on Saturday. That Saturday blitz where he held the shot on 16 or whatever. That's like once-in-a-lifetime stuff. So it would have been pretty impressive if he was holing shots again.
23 under the card. He finished at Patrick Cantlay. Meanwhile, Cameron Smith, the best of the Australians, nice finish for him in fourth position at 19 under. So hopefully that's a nice indication of some form heading towards the Masters, which is still to come, which sounds funny saying that almost in November. But, of course, being delayed from April this year. Let's head to the rugby world now. Bledisloe 3 is coming up on the weekend. Let's hear from James O'Connor, who was pretty excited watching the Melbourne Storm, knowing that he could well be playing alongside Suliasi Vunivalu, who's making the switch from rugby league to rugby union.
He's a freak athlete. You saw that. tall man, can move well. He seems like he's got good knowledge of the game. And saying that, you know, we've got some great wingers already here. You've seen what the Buller brothers are doing for us, and it's guys like sort of Ridey, who were right on the fringe there, and I think if they get their opportunity soon, they'll be able to do some damage as well. He understands the game really well, and the amount of times he's sort of making little half breaks at training is pretty incredible. So we've got a good group of backs now, inside backs and outside backs, and having him join is only going to make more competition between us and get everyone better.
James O'Connor there speaking yesterday. Let's head to the A-League now, where there has been some uncertainty over the future of the Central Coast Mariners, but Laurie McKenna, head of football there, says there's nothing to worry about.
We could have done that months and months and months ago and pulled the plug, moved the licence elsewhere as was asked of us for four different places, but we're not interested. We're interested in the club being here starting the A-League next season with the strongest squad as possible, and that's with Stevie Gajkovic and Bernie Beeney in that squad, and we'll eventually be bringing in players. Yeah, they might not be the big household names, they might not be the big foreigners, but it's going to be hard to get foreigners to come in because getting their families across the line is going to be the difficult one. So I'm very, very confident, and so is the staff in here, that we'll be kicking off in the pre-season games coming into the A-League season.
Speaking of some A-League news, the Melbourne Victory SA signing Jacob Butterfield, an English midfielder born in Bradford. He's played for the likes of Bolton Wanderers, Crystal Palace, Middlesbrough, Huddersfield, Derby, Sheffield Wednesday, and we'll see him in Melbourne Victory colours in 2020. So a nice signing there for the Victory, with plenty of players coming from the UK under new manager, or new full-time manager, Grant Brebner. Let's head back to the footy world with plenty of news. We'll get to Trade Week in just a second, which hasn't even started yet, but there was a bit more news on that situation yesterday. We'll start with Damien Hardwick speaking last night about Dustin Martin on the couch on Fox Footy.
He's a special beast, Dust. Look, he's an incredible player. There's no doubt about that. I've never seen a guy that loves winning as much as he does. And, you know, people will talk about the three Norm Smiths and the greatest finals player of all time, but he just loves, you know, the three premiership medals he's got around his neck. He's just incredible. He's one of those guys that he's often misunderstood, but I'm trying to think of the right word, but the impact he's had on our club has been profound, not only on our club but on me personally. And yeah, he's a different man, there's no doubt about that, but he's incredibly driven within, and that's what makes him the great player that he is. You know, he strolls to a different beat, there's no doubt about that, but he teaches me things that I'd never thought I'd learn.
Let's head to the trading world now with St Kilda list manager James Gallagher speaking yesterday. First of all, on Brad Crouch.
Being new-ish to this, being only sort of a couple of years in, this being really my second sort of trade free agency period, I'm not sure what the compensation will look like for the Crows. We've put what we think is a really fair deal to Brad, taking all things into consideration. We're still sort of working through the finer points of that with his management over the course of the next few days as we head into free agency. But I think you know, if you'll get a reasonable idea on what the deal looks like when the compensation is announced, you know, sort of, you know, shortly after we lodge with the AFL, which I think the time frame for that opens sort of at the end of this week. I'm not going to talk about the specifics of it, fellas. I think it's pretty unfair given that there's no deal done yet. It's still in the process of us discussing with Brad's management, making sure we come up with a deal that is, you know, beneficial for all parties. And, you know, being a restricted free agent, certainly Adelaide have got the option of matching and keeping Brad or going into a trade scenario. So it's probably a bit too early to talk about those specifics.
James Gallagher there from the Saints on afl.com.au speaking about Brad Crouch. A couple of players who have been mooted to perhaps be part of a trade if that is to occur. Luke Dunstan and Jimmy Webster, he gave us an update on that situation as well.
Oh, they're both contracted. They're both good AFL players, those boys. It was just the way that the season worked. I suppose, you know, they both got injured at the wrong time, really. You know, Jimmy were trying to get in the side all year and he would he'd sort of be fit and basically in the side, and then we cop a, you know, a couple of week injury, and Luke played a, you know, pretty strong game in round one and then injured his, you know, sort of tore his pec about 2 weeks back into the season being played. So they just found it difficult to get into the side. So contracted for next year, and you know, at this stage we've had no no indication that they won't be with the Saints in 2021.
And let's hear from Matt Rendell finally on Adam Treloar. This story continues to grow legs with Fox Footy last night reporting that Collingwood have said they don't want him.
First things first is that I think they knew, the club knew that this situation with his partner was coming up last year. Mm. So they actually made an inquiry about trading him to Gold Coast this time last year, of which Adam said no. He just signed that new contract, I think. Excuse me. So it's come round again. My belief is, you know, he's thinking he's can make it work. It's for 10 months. Kim's mother's going up there as well. But Adam is he's obsessive compulsive type of bloke, which makes him a great footballer. They would be worried most about him fretting about not seeing his partner, or they would probably be thinking that it might affect his footy, being separated from his partner and his child. So they probably thought it's not a bad idea to float that again. Obviously, he's saying, no, I can make it work. I want to stay in Melbourne. Like,
very interesting times there in the Collingwood Football Club and Adam Treloar's future. More on that, I'm sure, after 6 o'clock with Huff and Whitey as that story continues to bubble along. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Have a great morning. We'll have all the latest from Flemington for you throughout the morning on RSN. Stick around, the Breakfast Club up after 6 o'clock news.